I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter and chapter 4. And the Holy Spirit through Peter tells us in the very first verse, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. And he goes on to say that the time is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. I want to say to all young people, there's a good word to keep before you. You're still hobnobbing with the world. Time is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. But if you think, no, I've not had enough, I still have to enjoy life a little more, then God have mercy on you. And there are those who get good sense, separate themselves. Verse 4, they are surprised you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But here's a word that all of us need to think about. They will give account of him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. All of us will be judged for the deeds that we have done in our body. It speaks about the gospel being preached even to those who are dead. And this is the word on my heart in verse 7. The end of all things is near. Peter wrote this 2,000 years ago. How much more, how near is it today, 2,000 years later? The end of all things is near. Be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. In the NLV, it says the end of the world is near. And this spoke to my heart. You must be the boss over your mind. You must be the boss over your mind. It says there what we have in the version that we have before us, to be sober, sound judgment and sober in spirit. You must be the boss over your mind. Keep awake so you can pray. We're not to let our emotions and our soul dictate to us how we should act or react in a given situation towards people. That's the danger. If we live by our soul, our emotions will dictate to us and we will not hear the Holy Spirit speak to us. And that says you must be the boss over your mind. Don't let your emotions dictate to you how you should react, your thoughts, your motives. I must let the Holy Spirit direct me. It says in Isaiah 30, you will hear a word behind your ears saying, this is the way, walk in it. I can hear that word every day, every moment, even when I am awake at bed at night. I can hear that word behind my ears saying, this is the way, don't think that way. Those thoughts are not good. And sometimes we act soulishly. But the Holy Spirit must direct us and direct our ways and our thoughts. John said in his letter, he says, children, it is the last hour. He wrote it 2,000 years ago, the last hour. And I think we are in the last few seconds, my brothers and sisters. In the message it says, everything in this world is about to be wrapped up. So take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. Love makes up for practically anything. And that's what has spoken to my own heart. Above all, it says there, keep fervent, boiling heart, keep fervent, should not be lukewarm in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. And in this other version I read to you, the NLV, it says, the time is near when all things will end. So think clearly and control yourselves so you will be able to pray. Most importantly, love each other deeply, because love will cause people to forgive each other for many sins. That puts it very clearly there. Love covers a multitude of sins. I think, what does that mean? And here it comes out very clearly. Most importantly, love each other deeply, because love will cause people to forgive each other for many sins. That's what it means. Love covers a multitude of sins. It's not that I can go on sinning and sinning and love people and love will cover that multitude of sins. No. Love will cause me to forgive others, and it says cause people to forgive each other for many sins. Love reaches out to others in acts of love, not just words. That's what John says. You were not a love in word only, but in action, indeed. And he goes on to say, you know, in verses 12 and 13, Peter says in 1 Peter 4 and verse 12, in the Message Bible, it says, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. Don't think God has dumped you. He says, don't jump to conclusions that God isn't on the job. He's on the job. Even though it may not seem so, whatever you're going through, whatever trial or difficulty you're going through. And he says, be glad that you're in the very thick of what Christ experienced. God is refining you. God is doing a work in you. And when he's finished, it'll come out really beautiful. God will fulfill what you, what he has planned you to be. So, if I am to be fervent in my love for one another, Jesus said that all men will know you are my disciples if you love one another. And that is the mark, that is the unity of the church. I love my brothers and sisters as Jesus loved me. Not my earthly relatives and my family. If they are in the family of God, I would love them. But this is the family of God, and I am to love and keep myself in love. Jude says, you know, remain within the boundary where God's love can reach you and bless you. Never go out of my boundary. So he says, love each other in the message, as it says, as if your life depended on it. And it does depend on it. Because Jesus said, if we endure in love to the end, we will be saved. He says, because of lawlessness increasing, the love of many will grow cold. But if you endure in love to the end, you will be saved. So our life does depend on it. And we have to love each other, because I want to endure in love to the end. And that's why Paul prayed. You know, you turn to Ephesians in chapter 3. A word we have heard many, many times. Ephesians in chapter 3. Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus in verse 17. Verse 14, before that. He says there, in verse 13, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And if I am to love my brothers and sisters fervently, and if I am to endure in love to the end, then I need the Holy Spirit. I hope you recognize that. I hope that since you've been coming to this church, that you've seen the need for what the Holy Spirit writes through Peter. And Paul prayed for this church. He says here, He said, I pray that God will grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. And if I don't have that strengthening in my inner man, I cannot love my brothers and sisters fervently. At some point, I will give up and say, no, I've had enough of this guy. I've had enough of this brother. He doesn't seem to change. But if I'm strengthened with power in my inner man through the Holy Spirit, I will love my brothers and sisters to the end. Just like Jesus, having loved His own, it says He loved them to the end, to the uttermost. And that is what God wants to do in each one of us, my brothers and sisters. And in that way, Christ will dwell in our heart through faith, and we get rooted and grounded in love. This is the picture there with trees, roots that go down. The picture of a building that has a foundation. And we are able, not just that, able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge. And as a result, I'll be filled up with all the fullness of God. Do you believe this? This is God's word. This is what God wants to do in you and me. And so He says, now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, in the Living Bible, beyond our wildest imagination. One condition there, according to the power that works within us. Which power? What we read about there in verse 16. Strengthened with power through His Spirit in the man. God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And what is the power within you and me, my brothers and sisters, this morning? Am I strengthened with power in my inner man that whatever it is, I will love? It's not gritting my teeth and bearing and enduring, that in my home that I can love my partner, I can love my wife, and she can love me. We not grit our teeth and just decide to bear with one another. And that's sadly how some couples live, when they wait for the children to go out and get jobs or get married. I heard one brother tell me that. He's not here, not with us today. I'm just waiting, he says, when the children will just go out. Because they couldn't get on with one. All the time there was tension. They couldn't accept each other. I'm just waiting when I'll retire. I'll live my own life. I'll go somewhere. My wife will send us somewhere. Is that what God has called us for? Sad. That means we have been destitute of that power. Paul says, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that according to the riches of His glory, God would strengthen you in your inner man through His Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, I want to encourage us and challenge us that we seek for that strengthening. You will never endure to the end. You will fall by the wayside. Jesus said that because lawlessness increased, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end, endures in love to the end, will be saved. And God seeks to do that, to get us rooted and grounded. And God seeks not just that we can know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, experience it in all reality, and live in this sunshine and live in this warmth and be secure in the love of God. That is God's will for each one of us. And not only that, in Romans chapter 5, in verse 5, it says that God pours into our hearts the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a favorite verse of mine, which I quote often to many brothers and sisters when they ask, how do I know I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit? Here it is, Romans 5:5. Even if you don't speak in tongues, the love of God is poured into your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. He has done that for me, and He's doing it all the time. That word, pour, when something is being poured, means something's running out. So as long as that it runs out, and Jesus says, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water, and that river is flowing. God is pouring. You get the picture there? The Message Bible is so beautiful. It says, rejoice in verse 3. Rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they are good for us. They help us to learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Then, when that happens, we're able to hold our heads high no matter what happens and know that all is well, for we know how dearly God loves us, and we feel this warm love everywhere within us because God has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with this love. And it goes on to say, there's more to come. We continue to shout our praise even when we're hemmed in with troubles, because we know how troubles can develop passionate patience in us, and know that patience in turn forges the tempered steel of virtue, keeping us alert for whatever God will do next. In alert expectancy such as this, we are never left feeling shortchanged, that means cheated. That when we get into trials and troubles and difficulties, we are not left, you know, God has let us down, God has cheated us, we're not shortchanged. Quite the contrary, it says, we can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. I like that. We can't round up enough containers to hold everything God generously pours into our lives through the Holy Spirit. He pours and pours. And as long as, like I said, it runs out of us, I'm not keeping it to myself, basking and saying, God loves me and I do nothing, and I don't love my brothers and sisters, I don't let my love be demonstrated in action, not just giving gifts and giving food and all these other things, okay, if that may be necessary. But an encouraging word. None of us are lacking and should be lacking there. I can encourage by word. A smile to encourage my, not in a plastic artificial smile, but to encourage my brothers and sisters. And that's what we need. And the picture we get there is that woman who was in debt, you know, Elisha. And Elisha said, what do you have in the house? She said, I have nothing except a jar of oil. And maybe you don't even have that jar of oil. I'm afraid that many of you don't have that jar of oil. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I would encourage you to get that jar of oil. But be honest and say, Lord, I have nothing. I'm so destitute. I can't love. And some things have happened. I just can't love that person. I can't keep myself in love. Ask God to baptize in the Holy Spirit. It's a baptism of love. And He will pour and pour into your heart. And the river will flow. And you'll see life is different. I know it became different for me. And that woman, you know the story, how she got her son to get all the vessels that he could from the neighborhood. And then when the last vessels were filled, the oil stopped. And Elisha said, the prophet said, go and sell it and pay your debt. In Romans 13 it says, we are to owe no man anything but to love one another. So we have a huge debt of love, you and me, that we have to pay. And we cannot pay it before we leave this earth. We will still be in debt. But at least I can start paying it. I can let God pour into my life the power of the Holy Spirit. I can let God pour into my heart the love of God. I can love God with all my heart. And I'm taken up with the love with which He loves me. He accepted me, a dirty, filthy wretch. Picked me up from the gutter. Put me on my feet. Cleaned me up. And poured into my heart the love of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. That was the baptism I received 43 years ago I got the assurance. But God, shortly after my conversion, baptized me in the Holy Spirit. It was a baptism where the love of God was poured into my heart. I spoke in tongues, yes. But that was not the thing. The love of God, my brothers and sisters, look for that. As the love of God being poured into your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit, then you can say, yes, I've been baptized. I have the jar of oil. You can pay your debt. And that is what God wants every one of us to do. The love of God is poured into our hearts. Will you let Him pour into your heart His love, my brothers and sisters, the power of the Holy Spirit? We're living in days when lawlessness is increasing. The love of many will grow cold. It's already grown cold. And I'm afraid love among us has also grown cold. The other thing I want you to see, that in Ephesians chapter 2, if you turn back a chapter, that Jesus has broken down every barrier and dividing wall. So, it says there in verse 13, Ephesians 2, "Now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." We've been brought near by the blood of Christ. But in verse 14, it says, "He himself is our peace, who made both groups into one, broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." God has broken down the barriers, the dividing walls. There is no Jew and Gentile. They couldn't get on with one another. Malayalis and Anglo-Indians and Tamilians and Telugu people. And we have it all here. But has God broken down those barriers, my brothers and sisters, in your life and mine? Are there still some barriers? There's few bricks left. I'm conscious of my community, my culture, my intelligence, and whatever else. It's fit. Like we have heard Brother Zach say many times, fit for the trash can. My reputation, fit for the trash. Every wall, every barrier has to be broken down. That's the way God will make us one. One spirit. We become one spirit where before we become one mind. When we become one spirit, we grow up together into the stature that belongs to the fullness of Christ, where we have the same mind. The same mind of Christ. But God wants to make us one in spirit. And the only way he can do it is by letting him break down those barriers and those walls. He's done it already 2,000 years ago on the cross. Every barrier and anything that separated us. So he could not get on with one another. He's broken it down. If he's not broken it down for you, then I would encourage you to wake up. Get into the kingdom of God. Get into the family of God quickly. It says there, Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, the goal of all our instruction is love from a pure heart. All that we hear, that's a word that's come to me through the years, all that I hear in this church and I've heard in this church, and all that I hear God speak to me, and all the messages and all the instruction I've received is with this goal in mind. The goal of our instruction, Paul says, is love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So, pure doctrine is important, but a pure heart is much more important. We thank God for pure doctrine, for unadulterated truth that we have heard here through the years. But has it helped me to keep a pure heart where I can love others from a pure heart? That's the goal of all that we hear in this church. And so, if I keep a pure heart, it says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God." Not just one day, finally. I can see God in every situation and circumstance if I keep my heart pure. And if all that I hear, and I've heard so often, to judge myself, not judge others. That is, leave that to God. Don't go on passing judgment before the time. 2 Corinthians 4. But wait until the Lord comes. Some of us are not willing to wait. When he will reveal the motives of men's hearts. Stop judging others. And that's the way to get a pure heart. I decided that because that's what I've heard in this church for many, many years, and I took it seriously. I will refuse to judge others. It's in our flesh that we want to judge others. We have judgmental opinions of others. But if I'm finished with that, then God can make my heart pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And finally, in 1 John 3:16, All of us, we have heard that. We know John 3:16. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But what about 1 John 3:16? How many of you know that by heart? How many of you live that? How many of us live that? We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And John says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him. Whatever our heart condemns us, for God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And as I was saying just now, if I let God help me, create in me a clean heart, not just a clean heart, Lord, I just don't want a clean heart, I want a pure heart. I want to love God from a pure heart. I want to love my brothers and sisters from a pure heart. Then I'll be willing to lay down my life for my brethren. It's impossible otherwise, my brothers and sisters. So listen to your heart. I hope you listen to it this morning. What does our heart? Does our heart condemn us? God is greater than our hearts. Let's really seek God in these days, that we can call on Him with those who call on Him from a pure heart, that we can love Him from a pure heart. We'll see God in the different situations and circumstances of life when we get into trial and trouble. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. Amen.
Praise God for what we heard. So bless my heart. You know, one thing that I was always reminded again and again is that God is love, and His dealings with us is full of love. Love, 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 always love. You know, when the prodigal son, when he failed his father, when he went away far country, when he wanted to return, it is that love that brought him back, when he knew that how much his father loved him. Love is a driving force. Love is a motivating factor that brings us back to home. My brothers and sisters, when the Simon Peter, when he failed the Lord, when he was almost gave up and he said, let me go back fishing. When he went back, the loving Father came after him. It is the restoration of love. Today, you may be short of that love. You may be thinking that I'm done. My life is, I'm a disciple. No longer the love is, I'm lacking that love. The Holy Spirit can fill our hearts with the power of His love. The Holy Spirit can come into our heart. Love is the ocean where we can drink of it. We can come into that. And that's what God wants to do. Jesus is our example, my brothers and sisters. We read in John chapter 13, verse 1. Jesus knew that hour had come for Him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. He loved them to the uttermost, to the guttermost. Wherever we are, the love of God can reach to us and it can restore us back. And we can experience that love when we come to Him. You know, Apostle of Love, John, when he wrote to Revelation chapter 2, when he saw the church in Ephesus, they had all things. I know your deeds. You know, Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, it says, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance and that you cannot tolerate evil men. It goes on to say many things about good things about them, but one thing is lacking. You have left your first love. You may be sitting here with that lack of that love, lukewarm. We heard Jesus said in the last days, love of many will grow cold because of the lawlessness is increasing, and we are in the last days. We said that end of all things has come, and the love of many will grow cold, but Jesus can ignite that love in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit. He came after Peter who felt that no longer, you know, the way he messed up his life. Young people, are you in that condition today? You can reach out to that love. That love can, you can come into that love and you can drink of that love and you can experience the warmth of God's love, my brothers and sisters. And I believe that it is a call for us that we can come into that wonderful relationship. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, you know, 34, it says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That love can come when we are baptized in the love of Christ, when we experience that love in our life. And I mean, we cannot love human way, and the way when we love human way, like we heard, it is a soulish love, and it's just lost for a very short time. But when we experience the love of God, you know, that can reach to the deepest part of our life, and that can restore us our love for the Lord and love for one another. That can bring back that first love which we lost, you know. One thing that so encouraged my heart, in I was looking that in Revelation, where when he said that you lost your first love, and he said that, "Therefore, remember from where you have fallen, and repent, and do the deeds you did at the first, or else I'm coming, and you will remove from your lampstand out of the place, unless you repent." Brothers and sisters, God so loved us, loves us. He gives us a opportunities to repent and come back and get that restoration done in our life. Today, if you hear his voice, my brothers and sisters, dear young people, don't go with the lukewarmness. Don't go with that unloving attitude. You know, we read in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 15, it says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many may be defiled." Instead, you know, we read in Ephesians chapter 3, where we can be rooted and grounded in God's love. Instead of allowing the root of bitterness springing up in our hearts, we can allow the root of love. We can be rooted and grounded in God's love. Thereby, we can, together with all the saints, we can know the surpassing greatness of God's love, and to measure the breadth and length and depth of God's love. We can learn that through the brothers and sisters, my brothers and sisters. May God help us. In closing, one word in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, in Message Bible, "Let us see how inventive we can be in encouraging, loving and helping out, not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurning each other on, especially as we see the big day is approaching." Yes, my brothers and sisters, the day, the big day, the day where we are going to stand before the Lord is approaching. Let us love. Let us learn to love one another. That love can come into our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. May we seek the Lord. May we ask the Lord to give us that love in our hearts that can overflow. May God help us.